Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Everyone, and welcome. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom, hopefully. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystic, questers and querents, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers. And while that list, it goes on and on and on, it is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all in our own very individual ways bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break. Share your lights with us and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie and Rachel today, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our personal lights. We will be doing readings shortly, and if you'd like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Jeannie's in the chat room, and she can answer any questions you may have, whether it's spiritual, global, political, metaphysical. She goes from the trite to the terrific. Actually, she's an amazing, amazing, amazing lady and has lots of wisdom and wonderful things to share. So, you know, be my guest and ask her all the questions you want. Don't email me. Don't IM me because I can't multitask. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to experience more of that amazing voice. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and Rachel is at ravenswhisper.com. I want to thank everyone out there for joining us today. I know how busy this time is, and it's just an amazingly phenomenal, busy, crazy time of the year, a good time to sit back and kind of put your feet up and hopefully relax and do nothing for a couple of hours and just listen to spiritual insights as they flow and hopefully gather some seeds of wisdom that can help you through this time of year. This is probably one of the toughest times of the year, I think, because we're stressed out. And it's a time of, supposed to be a time of joy and celebration, and most of us stress out so much with presents and decorations and cooking and all of the things that, you know, we very frankly should all be doing all year and don't do. So that this is, I guess, our catch-up time, the time that we do the things that and the kindnesses and the considerations and the reminders and the thanking people for being in our lives and all those wonderful things that should be common to all of us. But, you know, if we get it in once a year, I guess that's a good start. So I want to bring Rachel on because she is an amazing purpose, and I hope she's here. Hi, Rachel, are you there?
Hi, Barbara. I am here, and I'm ready to go.
All revved up and ready. Are you all done with Christmas shopping and everything?
We still have the few odds and ends, you know, to get done. But most of it's done. You know, as long as Amazon delivers on time, it is.
I know that feeling. You know, there's something about being able to go online and not have to go into the stores that is just amazing. I did actually go into some stores with my son over this last week, and I have to tell you, I mean, first of all, some of the stores I went in, I looked at price tags and I thought, first, I'm not dressed well enough to be here, and secondly, I can't even afford to use the ladies' room, to say nothing of actually buying something. And you know, it was like, this could really stress people out. This is just not the way Christmas should be. Christmas should be, in my mind, and if I could totally do it, I would, but I can't. It should be a time where you make gifts for people and give them to people so that you're giving them a gift of your time, not your wallet. Mm. But that's just me. And I buy gifts, too. I mean, I am as big an offender as everybody else out there, but, you know, you get to the point where suddenly it's a struggle, and that it shouldn't be. It should be a blessed excitement thing.
Yes.
So, you know, it's kind of like I see people rushing around with packages and everything, and they all look worn out, tired, and stressed out. And, again, Christmas should not be that. So are you going to do a luminary? Are you going to do a luminary walk around your house this year?
A luminary walk.
Mm-hmm.
We usually do it in my neighborhood. We do luminaries on Christmas Eve.
Oh yeah, I got them last year, and I have to admit it was crazy and rainy or something, and I just never got to putting them out. So I have them this year, and I was going to put them around my garden, which I can no longer get to. So you know.
Thanks to Mother Nature.
Oh my goodness, yes. I was in Nashville and I was saying it doesn't feel like Christmas. It's 50 degrees. The lights are all pretty, but it doesn't feel like Christmas. And so I came back in a snowstorm last night, and it got worse and worse. It took me 4 hours to get from the airport to home at 5 miles an hour. So it feels like Christmas now. About as white as it can get.
Yes, it certainly. We will have a white Christmas here. It appears, as long as it doesn't melt off by the weekend. I don't know. I don't know if it added to my sense of Christmas for me this year. I think it just added to the stress of, oh gosh, you know, I have to stay home and do this, and I can't be out doing what I need to do. So.
Well, you know, it's. I don't know if it's that I get older or if I get wiser. I'm not sure which it is. But where at one time I would deck the halls to the point where it was almost, well, no, it was. It was overkill. And to now I'm more of a minimalist with it. I have the lights and, you know, the candles in the window, and I have a tree up. But it's always depressing for me to do a lot of decorating because you have to take it down, and when you take it down, the house feels naked.
Yes.
So I leave everything up until Valentine's Day.
I do, too. I learned a long time ago to decorate in snowflakes so that I can keep them up a lot longer. because I think the lights are so pretty at that time of year, and then it doesn't look so naked and barren in the colder winter months.
Well, you know, originally, way back in ancient times, I don't mean ancient, but I mean a couple hundred years ago, the lights in the window, the candles in the window were there because this season was the darkest time of the year, and the lights in the window were lighting the way to bring people home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I leave my candles up in the windows until the batteries die, because to me it's kind of like lighting the way home is a very amazingly lovely spiritual thing, and in a way it's lighting the way for everyone to find their way home, for spirits to find their way home, for, you know, just sort of like it's a welcoming thing for me more than it is a holiday thing. So when it gets to this time of the year, having the candles in the window, it means that the home is waiting. The home is there, the warmth and the comfort,
right,
and the joy and the camaraderie. It's all there and ready to welcome you in, which is it's an amazing aspect of the season. Now, I got to ask a question because you are an animal communicator, and when you were on with Ann Rose, I learned something about animals. I learned many things about animals that actually I never knew. I did not know that hamsters were hoarders, which, you know, it's just you don't think about them with those aspects. But do the animals have any understanding of the celebrations that go on? Do they pick up our excitement of the season? Maybe not the understanding of what it is, but the excitement of it?
Oh, I think they really do. I know just from my just a personal story of my house pets that they really look forward to it. They come out and witness the putting up of the tree and the baking of the cookies and the wrapping. They're here, especially when I'm doing secret things at night, when everyone else is asleep. They're all here front and center. And while the dog, you know, is pretty much game for pretty much anything, you know, it's rare to have the full undivided attention of two cats.
Yes. Well, you know, and many years ago, it was probably, oh my gosh, probably 30 years or so ago, my sister did the, you know, making the gifts for everybody, and my mother and my grandmother were at the house along with my sister, and we were celebrating Christmas together. And my sister had created these tins of all different kinds of tea, and each one had on it labeled what it was for, whether it was for calming or for sleep or for whatever. And she had made a tin for me, a tin for my mother, and a tin for my grandmother. And our tradition was that the night before Christmas, we arranged everything around the tree, and then Christmas morning we got up and we opened stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This one particular Christmas Eve, everything was arranged, and I had a cat who was not exactly the friendliest of cats, but you know, a personality. And suddenly she started to attack the presents under the tree, and this cat went in and ripped. I mean, she just tore things apart like crazy. She was tearing paper and ribbons and everything off presents, and we just thought maybe she'd lost her little mind, or, you know, we weren't exactly sure what it was, but we knew that something was very, very strange. She was dragging presents out from under the tree with ribbons and everything. She was causing absolute chaos and destroying most of our wrapping. And I looked at my sister, and I said, "She seems to be after your packages. Just what did you put in them?" And my sister looked at me, and she said, "Oh, catnip tea might be something she might be after." And she smelled the catnip tea through the wrapping, and she was after that catnip. And you know, just even taking the packages up wasn't enough because the odor had permeated everything. I had to lock the damn cat up until we were, finished with unwrapping. But she thoroughly celebrated Christmas that year, and my son's dog got a stocking with, you know, all sorts of presents in it, And when they gave him the stocking and unwrapped it, he literally got so excited, he took every gift and every toy that was in that stocking, and he showed it to everybody. He went up to everybody to show them his toy, and he went back and he got another one, and he went around and he showed it to everybody. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. So animals do appreciate us.
Oh, absolutely. I think even non-domesticated animals will get the gist of the season, Barbara, just from you know, different things that their humans, their contact with humans will bring to them.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's just a different sense of peace or I have a friend who rescues horses, and she has a stable, and she will go around and spend a few minutes quiet time with each animal on Christmas Eve, blessing them and thanking them for their presence.
What a cool thing.
Yeah, and then on Christmas morning, they each get a peppermint because they like the chewy peppermints. And they look forward to it, and they start, when they can hear the wrappers going, they start whinnying and banging on their stalls. They get quite excited over it.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I would agree with you because I've noticed I feed the birds. And I do it just about year round, and I have found that mourning doves are now coming to my house more than ever, and I make sure that there's stuff on the ground for the mourning doves. And I used to think that their coo were owls because mourning doves do sound like owls, but. But it's fascinating because they really weren't that big a visitor here until probably last week. And then I started to see the more and more and more of the mourning doves here. And it's going to be interesting to see if they continue or if it's just a holiday thing or you know, if they like my seed. You know, it could be that too. I mean, I hate to say it, but it could just be that they like black oil sunflower seeds.
It's got some really good stuff out there, Barb.
Oh, definitely. And the squirrels like it, too. I have to put out corn for the squirrels so they leave the bird feeders alone. Otherwise, they just empty the feeders almost immediately onto the ground, which, of course, the mourning doves love, but the rest of the birds are a little ticked off by it.
Right.
But so we got people here waiting, and, you know, it's a special time of the year. You know, I feel like I know that the next Sunday is next Wednesday is Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, I forget which. Wait a minute, I'll look. so we will not be on the air. Yeah, next weekend next Wednesday is Christmas. Following New Year's Day, probably I'll be here, but you know, because this is the last show before Christmas, it's kind of like, you know, we really, 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 well, I know everybody has questions, and we'll certainly try to answer those as well. I want all of you, whether you be in the chat room or in the queue, to know that, you know, our hopes and our wishes for all of you is that this be the most blessed of all holidays, and that it's stress-free and that it's full of love and full of joy and full of insight and full of whatever the season should be full of. You know, depending on your persuasion, it's a whole bunch of different things. But we've got Hannah on the line here. So, hi, Hannah. How are you doing?
Hi, Rachel. And hi, Barbara. I'm doing very well. How are
Thank you
doing?
Thank you. Doing fantastically well. How can we help today?
I was just wondering, any messages maybe for, because it's the end of the year, maybe anything for the new year, going into the new year?
From what I'm seeing here, this next year is going to be a year that you really need to focus on yourself. I know you've done that a lot. I know that you've done a lot of work on yourself, but the focus that I'm seeing here is, now that you've gotten a whole bunch of philosophical stuff, now that you've got a greater understanding of your spiritual presence within this reality, this next year is going to be focusing on how well do you implement that into into your life, into your reality? How do you incorporate all of your spirituality into the areas of your life that possibly haven't had the spirituality moving within it to this point in time? I feel this next year is going to be an amazing year for you. You're going to be pulling a lot of stuff together. You're going to be focusing on new directions, and it does feel here as though there's a great deal of attention that is paid to you by people other than family and friends. It feels as though you're drawing the attention of people who are outside of your frame of reference but are paying attention to how well you do what it is you do, how well you treat and care for other people. It feels here as though you're also coming into a time where you're putting your house in order, and it does feel as though there's compensation coming to you on many, many different new and different levels, and that you're creating new foundations from which you will work probably for the next decade or two or three. So it's a time of really preparing the ground for new work that you're just now putting together. Rachel, what are you getting?
I would agree a lot with that, Barbara, and I'd like to add, it just seems like, Hannah, that you've got so many, or in the past, you've been dealing with so many obligations and so many obligations from other people that the messages I'm getting from Spirit are really talking about you saying no a lot more, focusing on really what you want. I get your desires and your wants. I feel like there's a few things that are right about to pop for you that you've been working really hard for a long time. I want to say one of them is about 2 years. I also get a greater sense of romance coming in also for you. So I'm not sure.
I am in a relationship, but I've been in it almost 2 years. So it's funny that you say I've been working on something for 2 years, because I've been working on myself, like Barbara said, but also, you know, in work-wise and spirituality, but also, you know, relationships are spiritual as well, and this relationship has also changed me, and, yeah, it's too much to tell, but I can understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a really very important year for you, where you really gain a lot of clarity, you know, on where you're going now, okay? And it does feel like you're doing a lot more organizing, putting things, balancing things out, really getting focused on your wants and what the next step, what the next stage for you is, okay? And I feel like this relationship this year just gets deeper and deeper for you. You know, you get you reach a much deeper intimacy and intensity. That it's just a really nice feeling I get from this.
It sometimes it's still scary for me, and I go back and forth into this is this really? I don't know how to explain it. Things from the past, and I deal with issues from the past, trying to let go of fears. And then I look at it from a different, trying to look at it from a different point of view, and then thinking, well, I really love this person, and he gives me the freedom to be who I am, and he does not push me. Mm-hmm. So this has been 2 years of basically waiting for me to, giving me freedom. Mm. So interesting.
Yeah, it seems like just the old stuff gets, old beliefs, old patterns get in the way for you, Hannah. You know, so you might want to look at ways to maybe journal them out, look at them a different way, talk them out, things like that. I'm a big fan of journaling things out, purging them out, because I think once you get clear on paper, then it gets out of your head and it stops rattling around in your head, and it gives you something to look at or focus on. Okay. I like the intensity of the relationship for you. I feel like it's a positive thing. I do think he pushes you on, you know, spiritual levels and just emotional levels without being pushy. I think he just brings up a lot for you.
Yes. Quite challenging. It goes very deep, emotionally and spiritually. I wanted to say something. I had a hamster. And I saw the hoarding, but I had two lovely little dogs, and my wish is to have a little one in the future again, but animals are such a gift, and we learn so much through the love they give us and we give them. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Absolutely.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much
for
beautiful, beautiful readings, both of you. And
thank you for calling. Where are you calling from, Hannah?
I'm calling from the Netherlands.
Ah, okay. Because I've got weird numbers up here. I was wondering,
Skype. It's Skype numbers, and then sometimes it's just I think it's Skype number, and then it's just a weird number.
I was going to say, Hannah, you just celebrated St. Nicholas Day then.
Yes, we did. We did, 5 December. Yes.
Okay.
So that was very interesting. They really make it so believable for children here in the Netherlands. It's beautiful how they do that. They really have the ship coming in and St. Nicholas on the ferry ship, and he's on the news and he's on the radio. So it's almost, children cannot not believe it. Everybody's playing the part in the tradition of it. So it's really nice.
That's very, very neat. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, and thank you so much for the beautiful messages. It's really appreciated.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Netherlands. How cool is that? Okay. Well, it's really funny. I think that if there is ever a whole day that I do not have hoarseness from allergies, that I'm going to declare a national holiday.
I want to join in on that one too, Barbara.
Oh my God, I'm not sick. I just am hoarse from whatever. And it used to be a friend of mine used to make wreaths, and she would always give me a Christmas wreath for Christmas for over the mantelpiece. And that's when I really got sick because I'm apparently allergic to pine, and it drove me nuts, and I finally said, please, 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 don't take a picture, and I'll blow the picture up and put that on the mantelpiece, but don't give me one of those wreaths again, please. But, there's clearly something out there somewhere, so I will horse my way through the holidays. Okay, we've got Annette here. Hi, Annette. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure. How can we help?
Mine is the same as the lady before. It's on a relationship, and I was in a relationship, and we broke up months ago, and we've reconnected, and I want to know what you see with that. We've reconnected as friends right now. Let's put it that way.
What I'm seeing here is... when I look at the cards that I've thrown for you and I look at relationship, I see magic and miracles. I think that whatever the separation, whatever prompted the separation, somewhere there was an underlying fear of some sort. You two have had past life relationships together, and for the most part, they've been challenging, but I think they've been very, very good ones. And so I think that there are memories of good relationships. Always you have had to work on them. Always you have had to discover things about yourself from them and through them and with them. So I think in many ways this is a relationship that is going to teach you not only a lot about yourself, on top of how you function within a relationship, but it's also going to let you know where your boundaries are, where your lines are, and how to stand up to when things are crossed, when something is not right. So that in many ways it's a great relationship / friendship for you, but I think it's something you also can build on if it's something that you really want to work on. I think both of you feel the connection, the attachment, and sometimes being friends is a better way of going into a relationship than a relationship that is founded on hormones. So,
so we're out of state as it is, so we can't go too far on hormones anyway.
I am absolutely a fan of long-distance relationships at the beginning of a relationship. I think it's a wonderful way for people to get to know one another and understand where the other person is coming from. And so I would say that this is a relationship that certainly is possible to build on if that is appropriate for you and him. I think that repeating relationships, excuse me, a cat has just almost disconnected me totally. I love my cats, but, you know, there are moments. So it's a relationship that I think is really healthy for you to learn from. And, and you know, beyond that, it could be if the relationship goes no further than the friendship, you have a friend for the rest of your life. If it does go further, you have a foundation upon which to build that is just phenomenal. So that this is a win-win situation for you. I would not invest yourself tremendously. I would go very slow with it. And I would at this point, you know, build on the friendship. And not press or push, because I really feel there was an element of fear that sort of triggered your separation.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
If do you go along with that?
Yeah, we both had pretty bad past hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm. I suspect that red flags were waving, and neither of you had earned the red flag that was waving.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they were more of the I know where this is going. And
he did say that at one point. You know, I was in a very abusive relationship, and I blew up at him one time because I don't even know what he said, but I just went right off, and you know, and it just kind of sent the scenario for the next couple months. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's. I don't think either of you actually had cleaned up your past, so you won't
I've been writing, like, I don't know if it was you or the other lady said that you write, and I've been writing to him through Facebook more instead of saying things over the phone, so not to put him into a position to where he really has to say something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like the last thing, just before I called your show, I sent something, and he saw it on 333, and if you believe in numerology, you know what the threes mean.
Yes.
You know? So it's kind of like, you know, it's really weird because I never used to pay attention to numerology, but it just seems that, like, last night he called me at 11:11, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, I really think that you've got great possibilities here. Just don't overwhelm. Just enjoy.
Right.
You know, I think so many times we get so overwhelmed with something that we push too hard instead of allowing something its own time, its own space, its own way.
Mm-hmm.
So
writing, he has said that. You know, he has said that he has to do one thing at a time because he's got some things that he has a lot of cleaning up of his life to do too, you know,
mm-hmm.
not just with our relationship, you know, like you said, he's got issues down there, you know.
Well, you know, all of us have things that we should and could clean up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there isn't a one of us that's here that doesn't have things that needed to be worked on. So,
right, exactly.
And no matter how long it's been since you've had a relationship, no matter how, you know, how much you think you have your act together, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's always something to work on.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but what I'm seeing here is, please, if I had to give you a message from Spirit, it would be put the balance back in your life.
Okay.
While relationship is wonderful and important and phenomenal and magical, you need a balance in your life, and you don't have one right now. You're really focused on relationship. And if you can put the balance back in your life, take the pressure off the relationship, it has all the possibilities of flourishing. But Rachel, what are you getting?
Annette, I get that this is you've been given a second chance here to redefine the rules. I think that's the biggest order of business for the two of you, is to redefine the rules. I think you have been brought together by spirit. It feels like a divine connection. But with that, you know, comes the good with the bad. I think there really is. It's funny, Barbara, you were saying there's a lot of baggage. I actually saw suitcases coming in with both of them when I focused on the relationship, like lots and lots of boxes and bags and old stuff coming in. So it certainly feels like the two of you have had in the past not a lot of ups and downs in the relationship arena and a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. And this is one of those times to like Barbara said, clean it up. I also feel like it's time to kind of move forward with the two of you, with your relationship at some point. When it's appropriate, when you... you know, get all your dots, you know, dotted and your T's crossed here, you know. And it's a great time for the two of you to really, really learn to support each other, because I feel like he's got a lot to work on, you've got some things to work on. And especially, you know, I too am a fan of long-distance relationships, because you get to work on some of this stuff ahead of time where you don't get too bogged down with scheduling and dates and all the, you know, butterfly romancy stuff, you know, which is terrific. And but I think it really builds a really great foundation if you really get to know the person and their ins and outs and their triggers beforehand. And now I'm a big fan of the writing, you know. Even writing back and forth to someone can clarify your thoughts and figure out what's coming up for you, you know, before you send it, to make sure it's the clearest message possible so that nothing gets misconstrued.
Okay. Do you feel the messages that I'm sending him, he's feeling them or not? Because he's really, like, closed, like you said, you know, because of his past, you know what I'm saying? So do you feel the messages that I'm sending are, you know, reaching him?
Well, I want to hop in here a second, because you're so deeply into the emotionality here, and men just aren't. And
right.
and for you to be talking about emotional stuff is scaring him.
Okay.
I would keep it very light. I would keep it, this is what's going on with me, and this is driving me crazy because yada yada is happening. And you know, how about them patriots, you know? And I'm not, I am absolutely not a patriot. Well, I'm not a football person. But but you're, by being, you know, going into the emotionalities, by talking about feelings and this and that and all of the other stuff, you're scaring him.
Okay.
This is not, men are, you know, and I'm not an expert, but I am older. And I know that what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what you see is what you think you're seeing instead of allowing somebody to become the person they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to listen to what he has to say than to try to analyze it. And it does feel as though you may be trying to analyze a little bit more than is appropriate. You know, sometimes...
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, it's what you see is what you get. It's that simple. And
right.
And you try not to make anything out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mind goes crazy sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Not with them, but with everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry for butting in, Rachel.
No, that's okay. I was just going to finish up by saying, you know, just realize that the emotional side of things for him, Annette, is really tough. I don't feel like this is a man who's very in touch with his feelings, and I don't feel like he was raised to be so, and it makes him very uncomfortable. So just I would proceed slowly with that.
Okay. Yeah, he was from a very large family, and just like you said, different things were said. And like his parents really didn't raise him, even though they weren't divorced. It was like they had a nanny, and when he gets talking about his past, the nanny did this, not mommy and daddy did this, you know. So you're right on that. You're right on that one. He came from a very well-off family, you know.
Well, and, you know, and that in many ways has defined who he is today. So, you know, if you have to explain how you feel about things and stuff like that, do it almost in the third person. You know, this happened to me with a girlfriend, and this is how I feel about it, and it really makes me feel bad. Do not go into anything about him. You know, if you want to give him information about how you react to situations, make it an explanation of, you know, the, you know, this happened to me and this is what this person did to me. And he, always a girlfriend, please, not a guy. And, you know, it's sort of like I had a friend who was always late, and it bugged me, and it made me feel bad, and it made me feel as though they really didn't want to be with me. And I can remember, this was a guy, and I remember saying to him, talking to him about a girlfriend. I said, you know what? She's late every time we go someplace. She's late every time we go somewhere, and it hurts my feelings so much because it makes me feel like she doesn't want to be with me and she doesn't want to do things with me, and that it's a burden and it's a difficulty. And, you know, he listened because it wasn't him. He wasn't on the hot seat. And he said, well, you know, maybe you ought to talk to her about it and everything. And it's like, I just don't want to make her feel bad. And a couple of weeks later, he said to me, you know your girlfriend that's late all the time? And I said, yeah. He said, you know, I've noticed that I really am late all the time, and I want you to know it's not because I don't want to be with you. And the message got across. It took weeks, but it got there.
It took weeks.
No, I mean, generous. I think it probably took months, to be honest with you, but he did remember the conversation. So that's the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he got the message without it being something I was trying to drive into his head.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
You know, it always works better when they're not on the hot seat. Because if they're on the hot seat, they're defensive immediately. And by the way, they slam all the doors down and they don't listen to you.
Right. Yeah. That's for sure. Well, I appreciate your time, ladies. I know you'd have other callers. And it makes me feel better.
Well, I hope we helped.
Yes, we did. And thank you so much, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Oh, you as well. Thank you so much. Bye-bye
now. Bye, honey.
Relationships are so hard.
They really are.
You know, there are moments where, my husband's not here anymore. So, you know, I don't have that. And there are aspects of it that I miss unbelievably. And then aspects of it that I think, I have the remote control back. and I control the electric blanket. So, you know, it's sort of, there are pros and cons to everything. But relationships are wonderful when they work right, and they always work better if you're not so focused on them you're driving somebody crazy.
Yes.
And I'm one of those that will overanalyze, just like her. And you know, I will look for meaning underneath, what do you suppose that really meant? Why, how, you know, and you drive yourself crazy with it. So I don't miss that. No, and you know, I know you've got a great relationship, and I know you've worked on it, and I think the important thing when you get into a relationship is to treat it as though there's never been another relationship in your life, rather than trying to reflect back and say, well, this reminds me of so and so, and this reminds me of so and so. It doesn't do you any good, and it doesn't help the other person either.
Right.
Okay.
I once had a teacher tell me that relationships really are just taking all your background, all your people, all your influences, all your places, all your spiritual influences, and trying to stick them into a small, you know, tintype of a relationship, if you will.
Yeah.
And how to combine the two And I think the successful relationships find a way to kind of weave it all together. And it takes work. It takes time to do that.
Oh, my goodness. I don't, you know, so many people think, you know, well, they have a relationship and then they get married. And, you know, then they don't have to work anymore. And that's when the work really starts, you know, when you have a committed relationship, when you are living with someone or married to someone, that's when the real work starts. It's not, you know, you work to get to that point of commitment, but that point of commitment can mean different things to different people. So that's when the work really starts, and that's when you really start to, in many ways, struggle with some of your own issues and difficulties, wanting to blend them with another person's concepts and philosophies without compromising any of your own independence. And I think in many ways the thing that absolutely sabotages more relationships than not is when we forget that what attracted that person to us was our wishes, our dreams, our hopes, and our drive within our own reality. And if we let go of all of those to sort of help them realize theirs, we've shut off what attracted them to us, and we destroy what created the draw for the relationship, you know, in the first place. And it's so important that we keep on our pathways and that we keep that excitement going and keep not forgetting our dreams, but having a balance and a sharing. And it's the sharing and the balance that's the important thing, and so many people forget that.
Right. Yeah, and relationships are such a great playground, if you will, for our hopes and our dreams and our things that we need to work on, our baggage and such. That it's just what naturally kind of takes over when you're in a relationship, especially if you've spent time with this person. Just your other, you know, your autopilot takes over, and all that stuff starts to come out, you know, our best light, you know. And I find it very interesting that relationships tend to switch roles through time. You know, one will be more the dominant one, and then another one will take over, and then back. So it's always a great message, I think, to you know, no matter how long you've been in a relationship, to really try to add in that specialness or that sacredness.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
That's what's so special about the holidays, is because people will go out of their way to add the sacredness or the specialness or, you know, the little touches to things that they normally don't do during the year.
I definitely agree with that. And I think it's important that people also realize that sometimes relationships add to our baggage and sometimes they take away from it. But most people have baggage of one form or another. I mean, there was a time where I had steamer trunks, and literally. And, you know, I packed it all away. I never wanted to deal with any of it, so I just bought another trunk. And it was sort of when I realized that taking all my issues with me, relationship to relationship, was not working well for me. So that's when I started to sort of pare it down to one trunk, then three suitcases, and, you know, I'm basically at this point in time in my life, and give me another week or two, and I'll probably be back up. But I'm sort of to the point now where it's I have an overnight bag. And that's where I think kind of where we want to go, you know. An overnight bag is fine, and it means that you know we're you know we have issues, because we're always going to have issues. And frankly, I never go anywhere without enough stuff to fill, you know, an overnight bag. You know, the roll-on kind. You know, these are my issues. These are the things I'm still working on. And when I'm able to let go of them, there's another issue that has to be worked on. We're never perfect, though we'd like to think we are. And every now and then, I try to act as though I am, but the reality is nobody's perfect. That's why we're here. Okay, we've got Jamie.
Hi.
Hi, Jamie. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. How can we help today?
I just wanted to see what messages you had from Spirit today.
Rachel, you want to go first?
Sure. Let's see. Oh, I get a gentleman on the other side that's clapping his hands for you.
Oh, good.
So I feel like you have you've just completed something or you're working on something, and he's kind of cheering you on.
Good.
Okay. This feels a very paternal feel. So is your father crossed or grandfather crossed?
Yes, my father and grandfather. Yes, both.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to say both because I wasn't sure because they do feel very close, and they I want to say they both felt very close to in life.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, they're also also talking about something with your home, some changes that
okay.
are coming up with your home.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay. I want to say look for these about mid-spring for some
okay.
reason. I'm getting some things coming up, some things that need to be taken care of, whatnot. They say don't worry about it. You can take care. You can do it.
Okay, good. That's what I like
so
to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, so they're supporting you on that.
Okay, good.
Okay. Barbara?
Yeah, I'm seeing that this next year is going to be one of I want to say putting your house in order. It's funny that Rachel was talking about house. And it's not, you know, how they say, you know, you're going to pass in like 12 months, you need to put your house in order. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is that this is a time where you need to, on an emotional level, start to reorganize things. I think that there is definitely change here. There is commitment to change. There is a balance. It feels like there is a new balance coming into your life after the first of the year and a commitment to making changes. I'm right with Rachel on saying whatever comes your way, you can handle. And I don't think that there's anything difficult here. I think that for the most part, I see you overwhelming yourself by not knowing how to say no. And there are times here where it feels like you just wonder what idiot made the schedule up and then realized it was you. Do you have a running calendar that you keep? Because if you did, you'd at least be able to see what you're doing to yourself. Hello?
Did we lose her?
I don't know. This was Jamie, right?
Yes.
I guess I did. Did I lose you, Jamie? Hello?
Ooh.
Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Jamie. Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, I guess we lost Jamie.
Hmm.
Okay, well, let me go on with this because she can get it in an archive if she isn't on the line. I do feel that there are changes, and I do feel that there's new direction. And as you hit the June time frame, there is a sense of abundance, birth of a new aspect of you. You're doing a lot of work on yourself, and it does look like it's going to be a spectacular year for you. I would say that it's going to be a time in which you learn a lot about yourself and you move into new directions and you find new challenges that open up new talents within you. It's going to be a great, great year, Jamie. So hang in there. And it almost sounds like there are cheerleaders here, as though there is a sense of the other side cheering for you and saying, you know, I almost want to say playing a good game, but I'm not sure that that's exactly what I mean. But it feels kind of like it's at a football game where the cheerleaders are, you know, kind of rooting you on, which is a really kind of cool thing.
Mm.
So, you know, it's really funny because she does feel as though there are major, major changes coming up here for her. And I think she knows most of them. But I think there are going to be some very interesting, exciting surprises that are coming her way.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go on to... Did you want to say something?
Oh no, I was going to say that it just feels like she's done so much great internal work that the external things are starting to manifest around her because of it. Because she's starting to reflect the changes that she wants to make. So
there are definitely major changes going on here. So we've got Laura. Hi, Laura. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you two doing?
Doing well, thank
Excellent.
You. How can we do for you today? What can we do for you today?
I was wondering if you see any major changes coming my way in the near future.
Whole bunches of them, actually. Well, you asked. It does feel like the universe is kind of laughing at you. And when they laugh, I always cringe, because that means that while I thought I had everything under control, they're about to prove to me that I don't.
Oh, God.
But that's a good thing. It really is. It looks like you are being given the opportunity to go outside of the box, to go outside of your comfort zone. But that's a good thing, because, you know, if you get too comfortable there, you don't grow. I do feel that there is laughter, joy, and celebration this whole next year, that there are major changes here. There is a new balance in your life. It feels like there are new beginnings. I even want to say that it really looks like there's a stretch here intellectually, as though you decide to go into new levels of educating yourself on some level. And it does books all around you. And it does feel as though it's almost like you're reinventing yourself at some point here. Can you relate to that?
No.
Okay.
I don't know what you mean. I'm doing contract work right now, and I would like to get a permanent job.
I'd say that's coming up, but I don't think it's exactly in the exact field that you expect it to be in. So
what
kind of field
are you going to be? Are you getting
I just know that when I look at career, I feel that you are going to be guided to a new aspect or a new direction that is certainly connected. I mean, you're not going from delivering milk to string theory and physics, but it does feel as though the job that I see you getting, and I do see a permanent job here as you come up into the springtime, it does feel like there is a permanency to whatever job you're in at that time, and there's a new balance. But it's going to require you to go to school to a certain degree to get more tools that you need to have to be able to function as well as you want to.
Okay.
So it looks exciting. It looks like it's a whole new opening up for you. It looks like you're reinventing yourself and you're stretching yourself, and it looks all extraordinarily positive. Really, really exciting. Rachel, what are you getting?
Yeah, Laura, I get that there definitely is a new job change for you. I'm getting closer to May for that for you. And I think it is a little bit different. I think you start looking for something in one field and you find it, it's slightly something different. And I think you're not really jazzed about the position, but you go, you try it, you like it. And I do think that leads to, you know, more career development or going, you know, back to the career that you're, you know, or back to the field that you really want to be in or one that you're moving towards, because I do feel like there's more training, more education involved there. I also get that family and relationships are getting better. Not romantic relationships per se, but just family relationships for you, that I feel like there's some discord there that will be kind of working, you'll be working through that this year. And if it's not family, it's friendships, because it seems like somebody who's close to your heart, like a friend or a family member. Okay. I also get balance. Balance is going to be key for you, and it seems like the universe is going to really, this is going to be a year for you where it's going to look like so much is going on and things are so busy. You really need to ground yourself. You really need to pay attention to where you're going, what you're doing. And I feel like the universe will be kind of taking away those the last few things that aren't working for you in your life. Okay? And I wouldn't panic over that because it seems like it's almost a gentle process. But it's what you do with it, determines how balanced you're going to feel, how joyful you're going to feel in this. I keep seeing, balance. I keep seeing the Two of Discs here with balancing and rebuilding for the future. So this is a time to really get your foundation strong for where you're going to go in the next, I would say, 3-4 years for you, Laura.
Do you see any romance coming up?
I think there's romance around, it feels like late spring, early summer. But I also feel towards the end of the year as well. I'm not sure if this is a relationship that gets stalled for some reason, like it starts and you have a break for a little bit and then it comes back, because I want to say it feels like it's a really strong pull for relationship for you this year.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah, very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
Good holiday reading. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to you as well.
Thank you.
Okay. My raspiness is almost going away.
I think mine's getting worse, Barbara.
I don't know if it's the have you found that the more work you do spiritually, the more you are sensitive to your environment?
Oh yes. Sense especially. I can wear perfume all the time if it's my own kind of perfume. So but anybody else's, is a little too strong for me. And clothes detergent, I've become extremely hypersensitive to. I saw a friend the other day and went to hug him, and he obviously uses Tide or something with a very strong scent, not the Free and Clear that I use. And I have to say, within probably a minute and a half, I was raspy and congested from that.
Yeah,
so I do notice that.
It is the more work I do in the field, the more I find that, definitely the sense. There are places that I no longer can go. I have trouble in Pier 1 because of all their scented stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I much as I love Pier 1, it's with all the scented stuff that it really gets to me. But people's perfumes as well, and especially the heavier ones, if I'm in a closed space, like an airplane, and someone has a real strong perfume on, I will find myself breathing into my sleeve or something to try to dull the scent. Going down to visit my son, there was somebody who had, it was probably very expensive perfume. That's the only reason I can think of somebody wearing it that much. And it was, I almost was sick to my stomach because it was so strong. And the other thing that I'm finding I'm very sensitive to, and we should ask Isabel too in the chat room, because she's very, very sensitive as well. And it's kind of like it's the barometer. And anybody who is doing mediumship work like you do or like I do or like Isabel does, I'm finding that the barometer has absolute impact on us as far as our own sensitivities. When the barometer goes up and down and up and down, and Jeannie as well. I'm sorry, Jeannie. I can get a crashing headache almost immediately, and sometimes I know that there is a great storm coming or something like that. And my sister, who is a shaman, she gets the headaches when there's a major earthquake someplace in this country. Or in the world, actually. She'll get it in the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if, because we are tuning to another frequency, if we're tuning into the Weather Channel, cosmically speaking.
Yes.
And then, you know, this is the cosmic forecast, guys, you know. Oops, there's going to be major disaster someplace because, you know, my head hurts or my feet hurt or my, you know. And I'm finding that I've never really been allergic to pollens, but I have a garden here, and I live in the garden in the summertime, and it really is almost impossible to go out there and work without suddenly sounding like, you know, I'm a baritone or I'm croaking or something. It really is getting to be depressing slightly. I mean, they don't have flowers with no pollen to them. And somebody mentioned, said that the bees weren't around anymore, and I need probiotics. I'm going to have to start taking some. Okay, I'm sorry, I got off the subject here. We've got Kathy in California. Hi, Kathy, how are you tonight?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing fine, actually.
Yes. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Kathy.
How can we help?
Well, I have a few questions swirling around, and I guess maybe it'd be best just to ask what spirit might have to say for me right now. Maybe I'll give you a little bit of background. I've made some big changes recently, separated from my husband after a 25-year marriage in the spring, and I went back to school. I'm studying toward an MA in spiritual psychology. One of the questions, maybe I'll go into questions. One of the questions I have is how I might make some money while I'm going to school. I'm not really working right now.
Wow. Well, are you talking about being in the field or are you talking about just in general?
Well, both or either. I do some hypnotherapy, and so that would be a question, whether I should focus on that right now as a way to bring in some money to support me while I'm going to school, or should I look elsewhere and get, I have lots of administrative experience, should I look for something like that?
Well, spiritual work is a very strange animal, and when you do spiritual work and it feels like that is obviously the direction you're going, you need to have for a time until you're established a mundane job to keep some balance and consistency in your life. So if you are for instance, when I began in this field, I was teaching school, and I taught school for 25 years. And then when I left teaching, I moved into this field permanently. But I would say for the first 10 years, and I'm not saying you need that much, but for the first 10 years that I was working on this in this field, I had a full-time job that sort of kept me my head above water, so to speak. As far as what I can see here is there's no way that you can jump into this field and have it support you almost immediately. It just doesn't work that way. And you can't expect spirit to do that because spirituality is a gift, and certainly it's appropriate for you to be compensated for what you do. Absolutely, there's no question there. But can it support you? And I can only speak from my own personal belief system is, you know, no, it can't. I know Rachel has jobs that help her along. I know that just about everybody I know that is in this field has an alternative way of bringing money in. And I really think that you need a mundane job, and I don't really care what it is. Just do something that will get you, hopefully, maybe even benefits, and will keep your head above water so that you don't put the pressure on your spiritual gifts to get you where you need to be. That said, it can be doing anything. There are places where you can you know, Reiki practitioners are welcome in hospitals to do volunteer Reiki on patients that request, you know, a spiritual healing. There are lots of places where you can go to sort of put your foot in the door. This is a field that you can't explode into, but you, if you get enough of your toes into it, it opens up to you magnificently when you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, the hypnotherapy, great stuff, and it's wonderful with everything from past lives to quitting smoking and losing weight. But unless you have the reputation and the clientele, it won't support you, but it will be great beer money. And I don't drink beer, but, you know,
I don't either.
You get the inference. It's good pocket change.
Right.
My feeling here is that you're really focused appropriately, that you're really working creatively in the direction that is appropriate for your soul's evolution and development. Totally. All there. And it feels to me as though springtime I see Phoenix Rising energy, and then I see you setting yourself free to move in new directions. I think you've put all of your ducks in order appropriately, and you just have to, it's sort of like you don't throw a saddle on a pony.
Mm-hmm.
You wait till it's full grown,
and
you're not there yet.
Yeah.
Rachel, you want to chime in here?
Yeah, Kathy, amazing work you've done. I think you know, you're really reaching for the next step. I do get a restlessness in your spirit because you've been, you know, you took some of these painful plunges, if you will, to move yourself forward, and now you're kind of, you know, maybe feeling a little stuck that you're not, you know, you're in this slow period of getting through school and what you're going to do with your career. I like the hypnotherapy aspect for you, but I agree with Barbara. I think right now it can't be a job for you yet. Mm-hmm. I think if you work to just put some advertising out there and just play with it a little bit. I think also if you get a mentor, I feel mm-hmm. like, or build a community of like-minded people where you can share stories about how you got here and gain a little bit of a reputation and also hone your gifts a little bit more. I think that will be very appropriate while you're finishing these next couple years up for you. I would look, I like the administrative work for you for right now, or something similar, because I feel like also that you've done so many big shifts. If you keep going at breakneck speed, you're going to burn out.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there should be at least some level where it is just kind of your job is a no-brainer. Because you are working to build and recreate yourself in other areas. That I know there are times in my life that I stop and will focus more on mundane work as opposed to my spiritual work, or try to balance them differently than what I normally do because of things that are going on in my personal life or my work life, et cetera, my family life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I do feel that where you get in the next 2 years is monumental from where you started. I feel like this has been a big 3-year cycle for you that's been really like a snake shedding its skin.
Mm-hmm.
And the colors
yeah.
that are underneath are absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. And I get all those things that you've wanted really kind of just being drawn to you. I do feel like the hypnotherapy work and that branches off into a couple other areas there, but I feel like that really, the spiritual work is really where you'll end up. It's just going to take you a little time to get there.
Okay. One of my thoughts is to go all the way to licensure as a marriage and family counselor. Does that seem to be in alignment?
No.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to call, if you, I'm seeing life coaching possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think the field, and this is what I'm getting. I don't know that it, you know, and Rachel may or may not agree with me. Whichever way it goes, it's appropriate. But my feeling here is that marriage counseling is a field that is a misnomer,
Yeah.
It,
and I don't know that I would focus that so much as probably individuals, mostly women, I think, is where I would see myself.
Yeah, no, I definitely, the term marriage counseling to me just means divorce counseling, and if they called it that, fine, you know, I'd be fine with that. That's great, you know, help people to do this separation and everything under friendly terms, which is ridiculous, but I know it happens, but I never had that experience, but I'm seeing. You know, it's really funny. My grandchildren, my son and daughter-in-law are fundamental Christians, and my grandchildren are young. They're 7 and 10 years old, and one of them asked me what I did, and I saw my son begin to sweat profusely. And I said, well, I taught school, and he said, yes, and he said, but you're retired, and I said, yes, and he said, but you say you work still, and I said, I do, and he said, what do you do? And I said, counseling. And I would be very comfortable with you doing counseling. I would be very comfortable with you at some point in time getting ordained so that it was ministerial counseling, and that for many reasons on top of everything else. It has to do with the fact that you know, as a minister, you counsel and you're protected from a lot of other things because of that. I would say that you feel like you're going to go on a very professional approach to all of the spirituality, which is fabulous. But please, you know, the thing that I'm seeing here that is most delightful about your energy is that you go outside the box, and it sounds like what you're saying is putting yourself back into a box. And so if you want to do any form of counseling that has a spiritual flavor, tinge, whatever to it, please find your own, create your own modality. Don't go into one that's already there. Do you have a website?
No, not yet.
You need a website.
Okay.
You need a way to get your, and make it a general one right at the moment, and then as you grow, as you find, you know, directions you want to go, you can expand it into that, to that, you know, follow the filament, so to speak. But you have, you know, you have the opportunity here to really reinvent an aspect of a modality, and you draw from past lives. You come from a background that gives you a great deal of credibility, but at the same time, at the same time, you don't want to do what everybody else does, because that puts you right into a category that other people have opinions on. You want to be so unique that people will look at you at what your write-up is about what you do and say, you know what, that sounds like something I'd like to investigate. So, create your own thing. And while you're playing with all of that, Blog Talk Radio is the best place for you to play and discover what it is that you want to do and how you want to do it, because a radio show will give you the opportunity to use all of the world as your testing grounds. And I know Mary Peeler and I just one afternoon, for the heck of it, did past lives and found that there was an amazing amount of people out there that really were into past lives. And you know, we were playing. And yet we found something that it's a wonderful teaching tool, and it's a wonderful way for people to understand how their past lives are not random experiences. They really are a line of building that you know, we have to pay attention to if we want to. It helps to enrich our lives. But please don't pigeonhole yourself. And you are inclined to do that because you're looking at what's out there and saying, well, where can I put myself, instead of seeing a blank canvas and saying, let me recreate myself.
Yeah. Well, I'm exploring. I love past lives, and I've been doing a little bit of taking some classes in shamanic work, too, lately.
All of that
is there anything
fabulous.
That come? Yeah. Is there anything specific that comes forward for me, and along with the hypnotherapy?
Well, writing. I see a lot of writing,
and
that's not schoolwork. That's creative work. That's, you know, maybe children's stories that help to bring a spiritual message to them subtly, not hitting them over the head with it. Writing is definitely here. Rachel, what are you getting?
I'm on board with Barbara here. I really think that you should really try to find your niche, and your niche here is going to be something that's very unique to you. Take your experiences in the past, especially with what happened with your marriage, and I would use that almost as a template for the kind of change you want to create in the world for others. Okay, I do see a lot of writing. Writing of new ideas, new copy. I like the radio show aspect for you as well. It just seems to fit. It just seems like you have eons of experience here, and a multitude of avenues you could go on where you could really create new things for the future for yourself here, as far as career goes. I feel like career will eventually be very lucrative for you, and I would be very careful not to pigeonhole yourself too much, because I feel like so much has been in flux for you that the knee-jerk reaction for you right now will be to hurry up and try to get something very stable, you know, almost too stable. And I almost want you to stay almost in a kind of a transient stage here, where you're not focusing so much about putting down roots. It's really going to be about being flexible for yourself and your spirit. I like yourself creating new relationships. I think there's a new community coming in here for you, and your new spiritual community that will be very pivotal in how you create the hypnotherapy work, or recreate it, I should say.
You know, one thing I'm wondering, I'm involved in a little spiritual community right now with the shamanic work, but for a couple reasons. One, there's a man that I was dating for a while that's part of the community. I'm wondering if I should kind of break ties a bit with that group and explore elsewhere. There's an event on Friday, actually, and then, you know, invitation to continue with classes and more advanced classes, and wondering if that's the right group and right thing.
I would say I'm feeling more like it might be a good idea to spread your wings here. I feel a little like you've maybe outgrown this group. Not that you can't go back or continue with them on some level at some point, but I do feel like you're yearning for something new, something more.
Okay.
Actually, also, you know, you had mentioned about, you know, counseling people, you know, people who are in partnerships. A wonderful field that is not out there, that really should be, is Relationship 101. And not so much as people... So many people try to find a relationship to complete themselves instead of working on how they need to, you know, what they need to do for themselves. You know, what do they need? And you know, how do I best go into a relationship with the tools that are appropriate for me? How do I set boundaries if I need to? How do I stand up for myself if I need to? How do I become the balanced person that I want to attract to my life? So there are no classes, no workshops out there for people to learn how to be the perfect partner, because they haven't learned how to partner themselves first.
That's what I'm working on for myself right now, actually. Yeah.
And the other thing that is really lots and lots of fun that might be something you might want to incorporate into even what you're doing for yourself. Everyone needs an owner's manual, and very few people have one. And I have a group of alcoholics that I created down in Florida. And a couple years ago, I said to one lady, you need to write your owner's manual, and you should do this with a bunch of your friends. And what you do is, and I structured the whole thing after, this will date me, my DVR and the guide that went along with it. And I said, you get a whole bunch of empty notebooks, and on the top of every page you put things like, this is the environment that I need, this is the colors that I need, these are the gifts that I like, these are the songs that I like, these are the kinds of people that I like. These are the gifts that I love to give. These are the gifts that I love to receive. If you ever see me in this situation, please call my shrink. I mean, on and on and on and on. And I said, do a couple of them, you know, in an afternoon with your friends. Get a bottle of wine and write down, you know, fill out as much of it as you can, and then compare notes to see if everybody agrees with what you're saying, if it's true to you, or gives you further suggestions you might add to that. And they called me, I guess it was last year, and they said they had run out of titles, they needed more, and I said, oh, my God, you're still doing this? And they said, absolutely, once a month we get together and we tear each other apart and we put each other back together again. And what really is cool is that several of them were not married and when they started this. And when they did get married, they handed their owner's manual to their spouse or boyfriend and said, read this. It'll make sure that you never make a mistake where I'm concerned.
That's great.
And two of them, the guys did, and they refer to it often. I mean, down to the kind of flowers to give, down to what not to give and what to give, down to, you know, my feelings get hurt, and when my feelings get hurt, this is what I need.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole thing. And those women have been at this for 2 years every month. And you know, I think that I asked them, do they still do it with a bottle of wine? They said, no. Usually it's two. But not only did they get to know themselves better, but you have to understand that we keep that owner's manual we had in our 20s, and it doesn't apply to now.
So that's great.
You know, maybe creating some kind of a class workshop, whatever, where people can go and get to know themselves better and understand what it is, not only that they want to put into a relationship, but what do they want to draw in, and are they that kind of person? And if they're not, how do they become that kind of person so that they can really, you know, be a good, functional, balanced partner in a relationship.
Yeah, that's super valuable. Yeah, thank you for describing that. That sounds wonderful. I'm going to do that for myself to start.
Well, do it with friends and don't drink too much wine.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a terrific idea, Barbara.
It's fun. It is such fun. Because when you stop to think about, you know, like when I was in my 20s, things that I wanted to do, things that I'd like to do, the music I like to listen to, and the kind of gifts I wanted and everything, very different from today. And Rachel, you and I have a friend, Barbara, another Barbara, and she's told everybody, you know, when it comes to gifts, her statement is, if I can't eat it or spend it, don't give it to me. So, you know, and over, I will admit she's in her 80s, but yeah, it makes sense. And you know, we do change over time, and our owner's manual should be adjusted to our tastes and our philosophies and the things that we want to do with life. So it's really important to have that, and if you're in a relationship, for the person you're in the relationship with, to be aware of it. I mean, favorite color, favorite flower, favorite this, favorite that, the kinds of things, and, you know, the whole thing. And I mean, they even have gone down to things like, you know, bra size, ring size, dress size, you know, the whole thing, so that all their partner has to do is to, you know, consult the journal, and he's golden.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's such a great idea. I might start to implement that one myself. Think about how many problems and miscommunications that could alleviate.
Absolutely. I mean, my sister and her husband have been married for over 30 years, probably 40 years, actually. I don't know how. They've been together a long time. And at Christmas time, it never fails that he will open something and look at her and say, "What were you thinking?" and they've been together forever. And you know, it's just sort of like, you know, there is a good case for if you had an owner's manual, you wouldn't make that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got Jackie, I think, hopefully here. Hi, Jackie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Well, just like the previous caller, I have a lot of things that I want to do, and I'm just trying to, like, sort out some things now so that I could make a move, but I just can't make up my mind. I'm just trying to see if you could give me some insight into what's a good path.
Well,
and
I'm
currently a teacher.
Okay.
But I'm tired of beating. I'm tired of beating people upside the head.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my best advice actually is my bumper sticker, which is "When in doubt, don't." But I will tell you, you are definitely, you should move on. There is no doubt in my mind. How long have you taught for?
15 years.
It doesn't feel like that's what you wanted to be in the first place.
I wanted to be an attorney, and I'm seriously considering just trying to study for the test and going to law school. But, you know,
finances,
taking care of family. I think that's where the doubt.
No, there are grants out there. There are all sorts of ways you can make this happen. It just from what I'm from the cards that I laid out. I mean, while you're good at what you do, there is no joy, and before you become not so good at what you do, you need to move on. But that doesn't mean you quit your job. That means that you prepare yourself to move into another area. And I mean, I would absolutely say take the test, go for it, and as soon as you begin to move into really going for what your dream was in the first place, being able to survive in doing a job that you don't like makes it a lot easier because you know it's not a forever. You're not trapped. It's a step. You haven't arrived. It's a step along the way, and so long as it's a step, it's much easier to hang in there and to tolerate.
Okay.
It does feel here as though money is not going to be an issue. There are grants. There are all sorts of ways you can finance this. Are you the sole support of your family?
No, both my husband and I work, but we pretty much make about the same, and we have, you know, three sons, and we're juggling like everyone else, you know?
Yeah.
I just think that maybe, you know, I would have to try to freelance and do something different, maybe write. I'm not sure. I'm at that place right now where my creative energy is just being wasted, and things that I've always desired, I always had to put on the back burner.
Yeah. You can tutor on the side. You can do all sorts of things. But I would certainly investigate into how you could finance this. Lots of times there are grants that you can get that will even give you living expenses so that it will help to supplement. But it's important for you to teach your children that you're never too old to go for your dream. Never, never, never.
Okay.
So long as there's breath in your body. And you don't want to teach them that you struggle and you survive in a job just because. I mean, you may have to stay there a little longer to kind of get your feet wet and get going with school and stuff like that. But I got to tell you, when you're following a dream, when you're actually pursuing something that has been in the back of your head for a gazillion years, you suddenly have more energy, more excitement, more life to you than you've had in a long time. So even though it will be more work for a short period of time. No, for a long period of time.
But you know what? I'm doing all that work now, and I'm doing work now that the type of work that I do on my own time, I got a PhD. It's just finances that stop me, or at least that's what I was perceiving. But I
there
know I'm not
student
place
loans.
Where I have to move forward.
Nope, there are student loans. There are all sorts of things you can do, and you can be very creative with this. So, you know, don't let that stop you. Take the test. Make yourself, you know, take whatever coursework you have to take to be able to pass the, what do they call them?
The LSAT.
The LSATs, yeah. And take them.
Do you see my family situation kind of settling down and coming on board with this, or?
I think that until you actually get involved in it, they're going to play I doubt it with you.
Okay.
But as soon as they actually see you doing it, you've talked about this for a long time.
Yes.
And you haven't done anything.
No.
So they're going to play I doubt it with you until you actually start to do something.
Okay.
But I do feel that, you know, at this point you've talked about it so long and you've done nothing about it, they don't believe what you're saying. So it's a matter of, you know, backing up your words. And following through, I think once you're actually involved in it, you'll get their respect, and once they understand that you really mean what you're saying and you really mean what you're doing, they'll be behind you 100%. And you know they'll. How old are your sons?
I have one that's my youngest is 15. I have 15, 19, and a 27-year-old. But they're
yes,
all.
It's time you did your thing. It's time you did your thing. Rachel, what are you getting?
I'm all on board for this, Jackie. I really feel like, you know, once you take the cards that I was pulling were very similar. It was saying not to stop taking the cautious route here, to start take a whatever you're going to do is a real risk, and jump for it. You know, kind of the old adage, leap and the net will appear. I feel like as you start to move forward, it will be scary. I feel like it will be really scary because it's going to push you out of your comfort zone. But I also feel like you've been so complacent at your job that it's just dragging on for you. I also don't feel like money will be an issue. And really what you need to do is, you know, I think, you know, when you have a family, you're always looking for, you know, how do we balance this? And, you know, you said you were juggling things like everybody else is. Okay. And I think if you've been juggling things for a while, you stop looking at solutions for things. You just kind of expect that things are going to be tough. And if you've got a family, obviously a very busy family, with a lot of things going on all the time, you know, I feel like you just kind of put it on the back burner and keep pushing it on the back burner and keep pushing it on the back burner. I also feel like there's a little bit like the men in your family kind of run over you a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's about time that you stood up for yourself here and really just said, hey, it's me. It's time for me. Start looking for the solutions. When you start looking for schools, when you start looking for programs, look for the solution. What's going to make this fit? You know, one of my coaches used to say, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. And I think that's really right here. You know, you start looking at, well, you can't do it because of this or because of that, or the other excuses get in the way. I feel like once you start moving towards this, it's really going to open up for you. I don't feel like money's going to be a problem for long. You know, I feel like it's really just going to be about swapping out things for something else. Okay, and I also think that it really is going to be a great teaching opportunity for the boys as well, you know, for all of them, your husband included, you know. Just putting a new structure for your life, and I like when you are motivated for something. There's just an energy that comes along with that for you that I don't think you felt in a really long time.
Yes, right. I lost my mother a couple of years ago, and it threw everything off, and, you know, been in a very nasty estate thing with my brothers and sisters, so it kind of tossed my life upside down. But I know that I'm at that place now where, you know, if it's even just to take all those other things off my mind, I want to do the things that I know I need to do because life is short, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't make sense to go through your whole life, work hard, and not at least get a chance to do what you wanted to do. And I've
right.
also seen some things in the legal profession and the way how I see some of the lawyers operate that I'm like, wow, this is horrible, you know? And I just know that I could do a lot of things better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think you could too.
And do understand that, and something that it took me a long time to learn, so I'll share it with you so you don't have to take it as, you don't have to wait as long. When a door closes, it doesn't mean that you necessarily shouldn't go in that direction. It just means you should go a different way. So that don't you know, if a door closes or something doesn't pan out, it's sort of like, okay, there's another way here. Let me see if I can figure it out. And sometimes it takes a while, but it's sort of like, you know, this has been a dream of yours for a very long time. And
yes.
And it really feels...
I didn't have the support. It's been a lifelong dream.
Yes, but, you know, if you let someone else stop you from you know, reaching for your dreams,
mm-hmm.
it's your fault. It's not theirs. And you know, it doesn't mean you did the wrong thing. You know, you got to this point in time and you've done everything the way that you were supposed to do it. I guess, but reality here is it's your dream. Reach for it. And reach for it, you know, there are so many different ways of approaching a legal career and so many different facets to it that, you know, maybe the time it's taken you to get here has seasoned you to a point where you'll go in a direction that you might not have gone in at first.
Okay.
So do understand, you have not in any way wasted time. You've gathered information. And that's
okay.
important. That's
okay.
important.
I got
so,
you.
So, you know, my mother's lawyer didn't pass the bar until she was, I think, 67, and she's still in practice now, and she's 90.
Wow.
It is
she
never
must be an awesome
too late.
Lady.
She's
with all the
scary
life
lady.
Experiences, you know, but with all the life experiences, you know.
Yeah, but you know, you're never too old. Never.
I met one decent person in the legal field. One decent person.
Well, I almost have to go along with you, except my son is a lawyer and he is decent, but he doesn't. He does corporate law. You
okay.
know, that's,
The ones that I'm seeing right now, they're just like, they only care about the money. They actually play divide and conquer to a point where
oh,
you're like,
yeah.
wow.
No, there is an old boys club there. There's no doubt
yeah.
about it. But you know, I think it really depends upon the intent of the person. And
okay.
and if you are there to help people, if you are there to fight
mm-hmm.
for the underdog, if you, hey, you know, they're amazing people. They may not be rich, but they do great things. And that's it feels to me that's the direction you're going.
Okay.
Don't let anybody else stomp on you anymore. You just keep going.
Okay. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
You're so
welcome. It's been singing in my spirit, that and writing, one way or the other. I can live and take care of my family. I've taken care of my family unless. No, I don't expect to just walk away from a job because it pays my bills, you know?
I know.
But my heart and soul, and I don't see where too much is coming to fruition, and I've been doing it for a long time. And it's, you know, you get to a point.
Well, you know,
it.
when you start along that pathway that truly your spirit wanted you to go in,
okay.
spirit manages to open the doors for you and clear the pathway. But you have to take those first few steps because otherwise spirit doesn't know that that's your intent.
Okay.
And I have to say that when I ended up in the spiritual field and really, you know, started moving forward in it, things just fell into place for me. It's amazing. You can't call it luck. It's amazing. But things open up. Things
do you see
just...
do you see anything opening up for me in that area as well?
Well, I think from what I'm seeing here, following your dreams is definitely going in that direction, and being and the writing and the creativity that's here is definitely something else you can do, and nothing is stopping you from writing except yourself.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I feel, Jackie, that you're going to be writing a lot more as you go down the road here in the next few years for yourself, because I do get this an indication of writing for you.
Okay.
I think that's a very positive way for you to go.
Okay.
Yes, so thumb your nose at everybody else, and sooner or later they'll get on board with you, but you have to stop feeling badly that you haven't been able to do what you wanted to do and start doing it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Thank you so much, ladies. This show has been very interesting. If you could keep me online, you know, because sometimes if you guys don't press some button, I guess it disconnects.
Nope, I'll just turn your microphone off and you can keep on listening.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. You know, every once in a while, you just need to hear someone else say, yeah, you can do it. I'm tired of no. I'm tired of seeing failure, you know. I hate you. I like helping people. I really do.
You know, it's not failure. It's just another hurdle to get over. That's all. And it's a challenge to your creativity. And I don't see you failing, by the way. I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be actually a lot easier than you think it's going to be.
Yeah. Okay, you have a great holiday season here.
You
now.
Too. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank
good luck to you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we got Diane. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm okay, thanks, Barbara. How about yourself?
Absolutely fabulous. Thank you.
That is good to hear.
How can we help?
I'm in similar. That's what made me call in. I popped in the chat room, and the conversation was about career choices, and I've been struggling with job. I'm not working currently, and I don't know which direction. You know when you were saying about the road doesn't open up, so you have to look at different alternatives, and
yep.
I don't know which is the best way to go. So that's what made me call in, because I was like, oh, my God, that's exactly how I was feeling, and I did a long meditation today, and I'm struggling with finding clarity. I can do a lot of things, but I need something that's going to give me a decent career with a salary that I can live on. And I'm not sure which is the best one at this point.
Oh, that's a good question. Nothing's happening because it isn't time, by the way. After the first of the year, it does feel balance comes into your life. Now, what was it you did professionally? What was your last professional job? Let me put it that way.
I do support work, office work. I worked in fundraising at a university. I've done accounting, that type of genre. Previously, I worked in medical about 20 years ago, so I'm thinking of that. I've also worked with children, you know, mentally handicapped and things. And I've run my own business, and that's what I mean. I have a lot of skills. Some of them aren't fresh, but I can do some retraining, and that's what I'm looking at, different programs. And I can't decide which is the best one, and because I really don't want to spend a lot of time, I need some ROI, because it's been a long job loss. There's been too many job losses, start and stops, and it gets a little frustrating, and you kind of it's hard to keep yourself, your spirits up when that keeps happening.
Yeah. Well, I can. This year feels as though you're going through a Phoenix Rising experience, which is reborn out of the ashes of the old. So it does feel like that you are reinventing yourself to a great degree here. I do feel that after the first of the year, there is a balance that's coming into your life. You are more spiritually oriented than anything else. Though you mentioned all of your jobs, and none of them are actually in the spiritual field per se. It really feels here as though, God, you got so much spiritual stuff going on here.
And I agree.
Yeah.
But it's not steady enough for me. I'm soul supporter. I need the concrete job to build the spiritual practice is what I need to do. And because I can't rely on that being able to pay my bills. I've tried. It's not that I haven't.
Yeah.
That door just shut. I was reading at a store, and, you know, sometimes the energies in a place aren't the best, and that door just closed. So,
well, I don't want to send you back to teaching. Because, first of all, there are no jobs in teaching. I keep seeing balance. I keep seeing legalities. I keep seeing legal papers being signed. It feels to me as though if you want the mundane job, in the best of all possible worlds, I would love to make you an event planner.
That was part of my job in fundraising.
And I think that you would be fabulous at that. And, you know, there are so many new programs out there that are in the spiritual, holistic areas that event planning, you know, like the Whole Life Expos. I don't know if they still have them, but the Whole Life Expos used to be huge. And the money that they generated was also huge. So that might be an area you might want to look at, not necessarily for an organization, but be the event planner yourself. And, you know as well as I do that your vendors will pay for your whatever, and then what money you generate above and beyond that is frosting on the cake.
True, but again, being self-employed right now, it doesn't – I need the capital to be able to build. You know, I'm living on part-time unemployment, and it's beyond poverty.
Yes. Okay, so we send you into a mundane job for a very short period of time, but I do want to point out to you that planning events that are holistically oriented on a small basis to start to generate the money that you need to do it on a large basis would not be a bad idea.
Okay, I will, you know, like I said, I've been in the holistic, and it doesn't seem, maybe it's the area that I'm living in, and I'm hoping to relocate probably within a year or so, but right now, I can't do that until I have money either, so it's like this catch-22. I need to generate some income, a steady, decent salary, so that I can finance the other piece. Excuse me.
Rachel, what are you getting?
Yeah, Jackie, I'm sorry, I'm stuck on Jackie. I would say that, you know what, I do feel like that you will go more spiritual down the road here, but I feel like for right now, what you need is a mundane job, and I do feel like it comes like mid-January for you, okay? I feel like something that you've been applying for, something comes up, so I do feel like I see you working again. I do get decent hours, pays okay. It feels like full time though, and I think it's one of those things that you're going to be led to go down more spiritual paths. But it's later in the year for you to do that. You know, I think it's for you right now. It's more like finding jobs that work for you in the mundane field. Until you can find in using kind of more of a kind of a spiritual perception with them. You know, you can do your work, you can do see them spiritually, but work the mundane work right now. Because I think for you, really, it's about stabilizing foundation for you. I do get a move, but I get the move in more like a year and a half. Okay, and I do think that the move is surrounding a new direction as far as work goes, work or school. It's not traditional school, but it's I don't know if it's some sort of training or a different job that you're moving to be with. It seems like a more populated area that you'll be in, okay?
Oh, this is a highly populated state.
Okay.
Rhode Island is too populated.
The gist I'm getting at is it's more populated in what you want to do.
Right, right.
You know, or the opportunities are there, or maybe it's less populated in what you want to do, so that there are opportunities for you to grow into that in that area. For whatever reason, the location seems contingent on doing this type of work or whatnot. Okay. I also feel like just so much is shifting for you. I pulled the death card at the beginning of the reading. At the beginning of your call, which of course is never physical death, it is talking about just serious transformation. You know, kind of like
Absolutely.
Wonder Woman transformation. You know, death feels like such complete 180 degree change for you.
Yeah, and let me. Can I throw out something here that just is bugging me like crazy, and I have to say it or I'll burst. And you haven't even mentioned it, but what I'm seeing here after the first of the year, have you ever done any work legally with lawyers or courts or anything like that?
I've not worked. Years ago in high school, I took legal terminology, and my dad was a police officer, so maybe that's what you're picking up. But
No, what I'm seeing is court recording.
I do not have, you know, any skills in stenographer. That's a special skill.
It is, but it's easily picked up, and it's picked up rapidly. And they pay extraordinarily well.
Okay, because I can do some free training. I'm looking at different programs, and I have to decide which program is the best choice I could do. I mean, I could go back into, you know, I used to work as a CNA because I was originally going to school for nursing way back 20-plus years ago. But the waiting list killed me, and I didn't, you know, I just finished my degree in general because I couldn't continue to support myself and go to school when I was 23, 24 years old. But,
yeah.
So, and that right now, the field medical is always in demand, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that now at 50-plus years
I don't think you do. And just do me a favor and look into it. And the fact
what?
That you know, the court stenographer thing, because I heard everything you said, and I understand what you're saying, but I keep seeing it here over and over and over again. And the fact that you're not a stenographer, that's not what they utilize. It's a whole another kind of system. And I do think that the training for it is a very short-term training, and it pays very, very well. And I'm sorry for interrupting you, Rachel.
That's okay. I was just finishing about the transformation. It just feels like it's a lot of the callers that we had today, it seemed like a lot of their transformation was going to be inward, on the inner planes, transformation and perception and changing their beliefs and changing what they wanted. For you, however, it feels very, very much like this shift and this changes are transition are very much in the outside world for you.
Oh, absolutely. Everything has shifted in my life in the last year, from taking care of too many people in my family to I live alone in an area where I did not grow up and I'm not really supported. You know, I'm not shy or anything, but I don't have any people local to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no,
and I live just by myself in a little apartment with two kitties.
Couldn't have better company. No, I from what I can see, and like Rachel said, the death card is a rebirth card, which is spectacular, and it's a fabulous card to get because it means it's fresh starts, it's new beginnings, it's all sorts of exceedingly amazing things, and from what I'm seeing, it's right after the first of the year. That's where you find your direction, and when you find it, and when you find it, you'll take the bit in your mouth and you'll just run with it.
Yeah, because that's what when you were saying that earlier, you know, I keep having these starts. I can't even begin to tell you how many paths I was like, wow, things just fell in my lap. Maybe it's a good sign, and you start going down this road, and all of a sudden it either blows up or the rug gets pulled out from under you. That's been this last year. So I'm like, okay, so I'm almost afraid to trust anything at this point.
No, well, you know what? I take it easy until the first of the year, and then I think you'll find the rug is very solid.
Thank you so much, ladies. I really, and I will look into that. I don't recall it being on the approved training list, but I hadn't really looked into the legal aspect, but I do like legal. That's the problem sometimes. I like too many things and have a lot of interests and skills, so I was trying to narrow it down, and I was just like a ping-pong ball in my head.
Well, you know, maybe that's appropriate for right now. I mean, when you have that many choices, you know, keep looking at them. Sooner or later, they do all pan out, but you just have to give it time. And I know our time frame and the universe's is always different, and we get very frustrated when things don't happen fast enough, but I promise you they happen in the time they're supposed to.
Thank you so much, Barbara. I appreciate you guys taking my call. Rachel, thank you so much for all of your insight, and happy holidays. I am going to look into all of this. It's a different direction, like you were saying, to another caller, and I had written that down. I've been writing little notes the whole time I was listening to you, and maybe doing it, you know, sometimes it's not the path isn't the right path, but just going at it in a different way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Well, and you can always call back in. We're here every Wednesday, almost.
Almost. I love that. Yes, I do. Well, thank you so much, and I'm assuming you won't be here next Wednesday, being at Christmas Eve. So I'm going to wish you all a very happy holiday with your families, and I hope everybody gets all their heart's desires.
Oh, thank you. And you as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. Okay. Rachel, thank you so much for being here. And,
oh, you're welcome, Barbara.
You have a great time this next week, too, and we will see you back on your Wednesday next in January, whenever the heck that is.
Okay.
I've scheduled it so that you're on the schedule.
Great.
Take care now.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. And everybody, have a happy holiday, a healthy holiday. January 1st, I most probably will be here just sort of to see if anybody else shows up. So until then, have a wonderful holiday, and don't stress yourselves out too much. This is meant to be a fun time, not a stressful time. And be joyful, be loving, and just spend your time appropriately and don't overdo. Take care now, everybody, and have a happy holiday. Bye-bye.